You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast. We are going to preview the Pistons game today, and we will review the Pelicans game tomorrow. But to preview tonight's Pistons game, with me I have from Pistons Powered, the site expert, and from The Athletic Detroit, Duncan Smith. Duncan, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Tony. How about yourself?
I'm doing well, and I'm sorry I didn't get to shout out your Star Trek site so much.
It's been lagging behind. Once the season started, the Star Trek site had to kind of take a back seat. You know, there's only so many hours in the day right now.
Yeah, I heard that. It's getting harder now, especially when the Pacers have these back-to-backs, and especially when they're on the road back-to-backs. But for reference, the Pistons are 9th in offense, 15th in defense, and 25th in pace. I'm shocked that an Andre Drummond team is so far behind in pace. What have your impressions been of the team so far this season?
Mostly favorable. As you mentioned, Andre Drummond is not a high-paced kind of guy. But you know, a lot of the things that we were hoping to see this past season, we've seen really come to fruition much faster, I think, than we'd expected. You know, the rim defense is probably never really going to be there. It's not something that he's excelled at this year or any year in the past, but basically everything else that we've been kind of hoping for, or in some cases, you know, screaming from the mountaintops for with Drummond, it's really kind of like come into focus much more fully than I think we could have really hoped for. You know, the energy, I think having his deviated septum repaired this offseason really helped a lot. You know, he can breathe, and I think that's reflected in the kind of energy that he has, especially like late in games. Like he's hit like high 30s, low 40s in like the second game of back-to-backs twice so far. And he just didn't have that kind of energy, especially in those particular scenarios last season. You know, the free throws, honestly, I think they're probably like third or fourth in the list of things that have surprised me about Andre Drummond so far. You know, we'll see if those are realistic to hope for going forward. I think the free throws are real, but I think that also the fact that they've been running offense through him, particularly in dribble handoffs and similar situations, pretty effectively. I think that Andre Drummond becoming an offensive facilitator is probably the single most surprising element of the season so far for the Pistons.
You said two things that I thought were most important. One is the free throws. I wrote about it for NBA Method. I thought maybe this won't sustain itself, but after really watching his form change, it's way more out in front of his body. I really think he can keep it up this high. It really looks consistent, and like he's been practicing it quite a bit, which is cool to see. Another thing you said is the ball movement. His rookie year in 1,200 minutes, he had a total of 30 assists. This year, he already has 27. He's definitely moving it around more, and the DHO game's been working, and that's kind of part of the energy, too, is he's able to get out there and hand off the ball to those guards. So I've liked what I've seen from Drummond so far. And now he's looking like that all-star from 2015-16 all over again. So that's, you know, a big part of the reason this team is first in Eastern Conference. And I forced that segue on purpose so we could talk a little bit about the breaking news from today that the Bucks, Giannis's team, has acquired Eric Bledsoe for Greg Monroe and a first-round pick. Do you have any thoughts about that, how it pertains to the Pistons in the Eastern Conference?
I have, at least up until this surprising start of the Pistons, where I'm kind of curious as to like what their actual ceiling is. I've kind of considered the Bucks to be a little bit ahead of the Pistons in the pecking order anyway. So I don't know if it necessarily has an impact other than, you know, now the Bucks are just a little bit further ahead in the pecking order. But, you know, the Bucks are definitely a better team now. I think that adding Bledsoe without having to give up Brogdon in particular is a really big plus for them. I think that he can sort of, if he's allowed to, at least I think he can sort of add an additional facilitating effect to the offense. You know, he can run the pick and roll in a way that nobody really on the team can. He's another spot up shooter. You know, he's going to have to play off the ball probably more than he's used to playing alongside Giannis. But, you know, I think that I think this is a good situation for both Bledsoe and the Bucks. And I think that they pulled off a really nice deal. And I also think that the Suns, I think the Suns did all right as well. You know, they got some salary relief. Monroe comes off the books at the end of the year. And they have a first round draft pick and a second round draft pick that will at some point in the future.
Yeah, regardless of what this is for the Suns, the only reason I'm talking about the Bucks is because both of these teams are in the East, and you know, I think it makes the Bucks better now for sure. Obviously, they just added Eric Bledsoe, but without trading away Brogdon, I think that the Bucks also raised their ceiling for the future, which for teams like Detroit and Indiana, who are probably looking 2 or 3 years away to be really at their apex of what their current roster construction is. It's tough to see another team being in that top flight looking like they're going to be really good in 2 or 3 years. And when Giannis is on, you know, he's 26, that team's going to be really good now. So good move for the Bucks for sure. We'll have to see how it really plays out. It's going to take a while to see, but I got to talk about it eventually. And I figured might as well do it now. And we're talking about these two teams. So my favorite player on the Pistons is Tobias Harris. And I think he's one of the most underrated players in the entire NBA. Always has a better true shooting than I'm surprised at. He's a really good defender. And last year I saw he was really good on the floor when KCP was off. And, of course, this year he's been killing it. So you want to talk about Tobias Harris for me a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, I'm always happy to talk about Tobias. I recently changed my Twitter bio, actually, a week or so ago. A couple of the Piston beat writers, I guess, I came up in conversation there, and Vince Ellis, the beat writer for the Piston, for the Free Press, said that I put the bias in Tobias, and that's fair. So I adopted it. It's on the bio now. Go check out at Duncan Smith NBA the bio page. He's definitely taken I'd say a pretty substantial leap forward. He's shown some improvement from 3-point range. He's been streaky in the past. I think like he's shot like over 36% once or twice in his career. Last year he shot about 34%. So, you know, he kind of vacillates like up and down around that mid 30s range. I haven't got his current up to date stats.
46%. Yep.
Yeah. I knew it was somewhere in the 40 plus range. That's really instrumental because it really is a challenge for bigs who are like trying to guard him on the perimeter. They have to take that shot fake very seriously. And he has a much quicker first step on the dribble than we've seen in the past. So, you know, if he gets a big on him one-on-one, he's going to get his way more often than not. And that's not really something we could have necessarily said about him in the past. As you mentioned, like his defense has, you know, he's probably never going to be getting like, you know, all defensive team votes or anything like that, but he's competent. And that's not something that we could have said about him, say 2-3 years ago. You know, I think he's gotten bigger, stronger, more physical and quicker. You know, he's just got his athleticism has improved. And I think that he's also like his defensive awareness has gone up. So, you know, I think that it's really just kind of the evolution of a smart, hardworking, well-coached young player. I mean, he's 25 years old. And I think that's something that people really kind of forget because it seems like he's just been around forever, you know. But, you know, he's still probably a couple years before his real prime ceiling kind of before we really enter, you know, the period of time where we can say, like, this is what Tobias Harris is. I think that we're still sort of in those formative stages. And I think that he's come out of, for some people, I think he's come out of nowhere and really taken a lot of people off guard.
Yeah, me as well. I didn't really look into his stats until last year, and I was pretty impressed, and I kind of picked him as a dark horse most improved candidate this year. I think the reason he felt like he's been in the league so long is because he's been traded twice. Just thought I'd throw that in there. But I don't even know if you have seen this yet, but as of the time we're recording this, so the middle of the day on November 7th, he leads the league in turnover percentage. Did you know that?
I didn't know that he led the league, but I knew that it was remarkably low. It's like 2.8% or something.
He jumped up to 4%, but still first, yeah.
That's, yeah, I knew it was good, but I didn't know it was that good.
Yeah, him and Avery Bradley formed quite the Batman and Robin combo on the wing with his shooting and Bradley's defense and shooting and their general creation. It's been, they've had a very impressive starting lineup, and I think the only other guy to talk about before we really get into matchups is Reggie Jackson, who's completely resurged from his injury. How much better has he been this year than last year?
He's been pretty much across the board much better. Yeah, this is something that I talked about at length, particularly late last year and through the summer. Basically he went from being the Pistons' best player in 15-16, the playoff season, to probably the worst high usage player in the NBA last year. if we take a look at like all players who had usage of 25% or higher, played 50 games or more and played 20 minutes per game on average or more. He was like bottom five in true shooting percentage, bottom five in effective field goal percentage. I think he had the second or third worst offensive rating and he had the fourth worst defensive rating. So just, you know, across the board, just really bad, you know? I think that kind of speaks to how devastating unchecked knee tendonitis can be. So the rehab protocol that they put him on through the course of the summer seems to have done the trick. Basically he didn't play any basketball all summer long. Everything that he did was off court work to strengthen the ligaments around his knee to really take the load off of the joint from all the, you know, the jumping and landing and bursting that a point guard has to do. Suddenly he's back to being a decent defender. I think that people kind of forgot that he, like Harris, he's not going to be making any, all defensive teams or anything, but he's a passable defender, which is really, a team with five passable defenders is not a bad defensive team. And that's kind of what the Pistons have right now. The three isn't really falling for him right now, but more or less everything else is kind of clicking. And while I'm not gonna call him the best player on this team like he was 2 years ago, he's not the worst player in the NBA anymore. And I think that's a big benefit for this team right now.
Huge improvement. I see he's 91.4% from the free throw line too. That's got to be incredibly nice for a guy like him who's really good at getting to the hole. But let's look at this game tonight more under the microscope. It's the Palace in Detroit, which is the new stadium that has been under a lot of random scrutiny for attendance, but the Pacers are last in attendance every year, so let's not make fun of the Pistons.
Little Caesars Arena. The Palace is the old arena.
Oh, it changed names?
It's at Little Caesars Arena, yep.
I didn't know that. The B-ball ref still has it as the Palace of Auburn Hills. They got to fix that for me.
Yeah, they need to fix that. That's old news.
Yeah, the Little Caesars Arena tonight anyway. But I think for the Pacers is going to – well, first of all, something interesting to monitor is that – I don't know if it's been announced yet, but Stanley Johnson and John Lue are both questionable. Do we know if either of them are playing or not playing yet?
Lue, I would say, is probably out. It's probably going to be another week before he's back on the floor. He sprained his ankle pretty bad last week. Stanley Johnson, I think, is closer to questionable. You know, they've put him out there at like not 100% a couple times so far this year. So if he can go, he'll probably go. I think that's probably going to be closer to a game time decision. I know he didn't finish practice today, which is it's definitely kind of concerning. So. We'll see. I wouldn't be shocked if he's not back until the weekend.
Yeah, that'll be interesting, especially because a guy who I thought could be very important for the Pacers in this game is Thaddeus Young. Because of that, if Stanley and John Lue don't play, I think the power forward rotation is going to be like Tolliver and Henry Ellenson probably. So it'll be tough for them to keep with Thad Young. And another thing about the Pistons that we haven't said yet is they rank first in the league in steals at the moment, but that could just be because they've played the most games. But regardless, they're first in the league in steals, and Thaddeus Young's really that caretaker guy who doesn't turn the ball over very often. So I think it's going to be very crucial for him to, you know, be playing his best pick-and-pop game and taking care of the ball and still being the caretaker or veteran that he is for this kind of younger team. Is there anyone on the Pacers you're eyeing that could have a nice game?
I think Victor Oladipo is always a candidate for a nice game. Him and Sabonis have both been real, real surprises to me. It's been really kind of delightful to see this thing work out the way it has. You know, I think this summer, pretty much everybody was driving the Pacers as having just gotten utterly fleeced in the Paul George deal. And I don't know if your front office necessarily expected things to work out quite as well as they have. But yeah, those two guys in particular, I think Sabonis is out tomorrow.
Yeah, he is.
Tonight, yeah. But, you know, I think Victor Oladipo is going to be somebody I'm really excited to see.
Yeah, we're recording this on Monday, and Sabonis is not playing tonight against the Pelicans. So we'll see if he actually plays tomorrow night against the Pistons. That will be something to look out for, because I don't like Al Jefferson, especially playing against Andre Drummond. Just a quick side bit from me. The thing about the Paul George trade is, like, we can all write and pretend like we know what the GMs go through and, like, that we're smart and know it's a bad trade, but clearly there's some level of knowledge that goes into this job that we as writers on the internet don't know. And I was one of those people who grilled the trade, so I'll take blame here. But, yeah, they've both been very impressive. And I think a challenge for Oladipo in this game is that Bradley's such a, you know, a lockdown defender. And I think he was kind of overrated on ball at times, but he's been awesome this year. So that could be something they look to stop, and especially with Drummond, who's now more mobile and still an elite rim protector, hanging around behind at the rim. It could be a tougher game for him, but I think he could have a good game, especially if he can keep shooting an absurd percentage from three.
Yeah, no question about that. I think for some reason the Pacers have always fared really well against the Pistons, at least the last few years. You know, I think the Pistons were much worse and the Pacers were much better in most cases. But, you know, I think especially with Lure and Stanley Johnson very likely out, I do kind of have concerns about this being maybe not a trap game, but a game that the Pacers are in better shape than maybe meets the eye.
Yeah, them being on a back-to-back makes it harder. And after this 30-second break, we will talk about Pistons players that we expect to have a nice game. Hey guys, Tony here to tell you about Locked On Pacers' new sponsor, Draft. If you're like me, you're pretty into daily fantasy sports, but you don't really have time to do fantasy sports as much as others do, and it makes it harder to win in daily fantasy sports because some people unfortunately play it like a full, well not unfortunately, but some people play it like a full-time job, and that is where Draft comes in to help you. Draft is just one day fantasy sports, but there's no lineup management, and it lasts just one night, but the best part is it's a snake draft. So you can't be preparing ahead of time with your Excel sheets, and you can't guarantee what players you're getting because it's a snake draft with real other people. It's not a salary cap league. So it's just like you play with your friends in a season-long league, except it's just one day, and you can play for cold, hard cash. And some of these drafts start at just $1, so there's a draft for literally everyone. And of course, I wouldn't be telling you about this if I couldn't help you get a deal on Draft, because that's just what me and Adam like to do. So you can come me and join Adam on Draft. That's capital DRAFT. You can download it in the App Store today. If you want to join us, you can use the code LOPACERS at checkout for a $3 free draft. That is LOPACERS. If you use that code, it lets them know you came from us, and it lets you get a $3 free draft into the Locked On League. So make sure you do that. I'm sure you'll have a great time. And yeah, I would highly recommend using Draft. All right, and we are back. So the Pistons have been beating up on everybody. The back-to-back wins over the Clippers and Warriors, their most notable wins. But against the Pacers in particular, I'm really looking that Reggie Jackson's going to have a good game, especially if Sabonis is out. That means Al Jefferson will be playing more, and he'll still be being guarded by Darren Collison, which means I think Reggie Jackson's due for a nice game. Do you agree with that? Do you think someone else could have a better game? What are your thoughts?
You know, I think Tobias Harris has been kind of quiet since that West Coast trip in the first place. You know, I don't know if he's necessarily like poised to break out. I don't know if I would go quite that far. But I think that Tobias Harris and Andre Drummond both might be in good shape to have really good games.
Drummond scares me because the Pacers are always near the bottom of the barrel in rebounding, and he's the best in the league at it. So
yeah, he's kind of a monster at that one thing in particular.
Yeah, and that's another thing against the Pistons. They're slower, and because they're so slow and they get back on D effectively and things like that, they can force you to have more misses, which feeds right into Drummond's hands on the glass. And with young Miles Turner, who's not exactly the strongest on the glass, that kind of scares me quite a bit. Is there anyone in the reserves? We haven't really touched on any team's reserves. Is there anyone from the Pistons' reserves you think could have a nice game? I have one guy I would pick.
Well, you know, it's going to be kind of interesting because with the injury questions, it's hard to really project how the rotation is going to kind of how it's going to work out. You know, I think that Eric Moreland is probably going to get some minutes at backup center. That's been Lure's primary role, actually. He's played a lot more five than four. And Stanley Johnson eats up a lot of minutes. He's played over 40 minutes a couple times this season. So, you know, I think that that's going to probably leave room for, Reggie Bullock is probably my guess to replace Stanley at the three, if that's what happens. I think that that's going to allow like the rest of the rotation to kind of shake out the way that it normally has. I think Langston Galloway might be poised for a big,
that was my pick as well.
That was your pick. Yeah. I think that, you know, I would say that probably like he's going to be the beneficiary of a lot of like the extra minutes that need to be eaten up. And he's kind of another guy that's been quiet, but whenever he's on the floor, he's the way I express it, he just seems to have like a flamethrower. You know, he's hot from everywhere all the time.
Yeah, his true shooting is absurd right now.
Yeah, it's over 70%, I think.
It is, yeah.
77.5 or something, just kind of insane. Yeah, he's been hot pretty much whenever he's been on the floor all season. And I think that tomorrow is going to be tonight, I suppose. There's going to be a game in which he's going to have a lot of opportunity. And so far, he's really clicked on just about every opportunity he's had. It's been really kind of impressive to see. And like as you panned the Pacers trade with the Thunder, I had some pretty significant misgivings about the signing of Galloway. Not so much signing him not even the money so much as hard capping.
Yeah,
they hard capped themselves by noon on July 1st. keeping away from the hard cap so they could re-sign KCP, which was the plan. It's a thing. It's a long, my first athletic piece was a 1200 word breakdown on all of my concerns about this, so we can't go into that on your podcast.
We'll talk about it off air. I'm excited to, but
yeah for sure. But, you know, my concerns there, you know, I've kind of changed tunes to the point where if you're going to hard cap yourself at noon on July 1st, like, I guess Langston Galloway is the guy you do it for. He's been kind of a revelation. And, yeah, he's definitely my pick for reserve to really show out tomorrow.
Yeah, so Corey Joseph usually shuts down the better of the two guards, but I'm almost 100% sure he'd be on Ish Smith in any reserve situation. So I think Galloway could have a nice game. It seems like reserve wings have been somewhat of the Pacers' only problems on the reserves. But, yeah, is there any other matchups you're looking at this game, or are you just going to see if it's slower or faster? I think that's going to be the big key to feed into one of the two teams' hands.
Yeah, I expect it's probably going to be a slower-paced game.
Me too.
You know, I think the Pistons are probably going to handle things on the boards pretty well. You know, when the game is slow, the Pistons are much more able to be responsible in transition defense. And I think that's a big reason why their defense does tend to fare pretty well. I know that opponent shooting percentage has been like kind of above average, a bit above expectation against them so far. But I think that what's really worked for them has been being responsible in transition defense, just like last year. You know, it's not so much that they're exceptional in transition defense. It's just like they avoid letting other teams get out on them. And I think that a big part of that is Drummond being able to clear the glass so effectively, single-handedly. And then they take care of the ball really well on the offensive side. So they don't give other teams opportunities to take advantage of weaknesses. And they really make the most of their own opportunities by not turning the ball over much.
Yeah, I agree with all that. And the slowness will really hurt the Pacers, who have been pushing in transition quite a bit. And like you said, with Drummond's rebounds last year against the Pacers, he had 53 rebounds in their four games. So he was quite the monster to be reckoned with. And I fear that the slow pace let me rephrase that. It's pretty clear that the slow pace will feed right into the Pistons' hands. So I worry about that, especially on a back-to-back. We'll have to see what happens. And if Sabonis doesn't play, that hurts even more, because there have been so many funny possessions where the Pacers get their shot up early in the shot clock and Al Jefferson still hasn't even come onto my screen yet. So we'll have to see if in a game like this. It is. So I'll have to see if that's a trend that continues. But we're going to take one more quick break. When we come back, we will to our official score predictions and get you guys out of here. So we'll be back in about 30 seconds. All right, and we're back. And Duncan, it is time for the official Pistons powered and the Athletic Detroit sponsored score prediction for tonight's game.
Let's see. 101-95 Pistons.
It's always so hard. I just like doing it to see what people's thought processes kind of are, if I can tell. I think that lower numbers are correct in this kind of game. I was going to say a game in the 90s to low hundreds. I forget exactly what I said on our weekly pod this spread would be. I think I picked a 3-point win for the Pistons, so I'll just stick with 104-101 Detroit. But, you know, I think this is going to be a good one. I think that last year the Pacers swept the Pistons. Is that correct? Do you remember?
Yeah, I believe they did, and it just kind of feels like for the last like 4 or 5 years they've swept the Pistons every time.
Ever since the brawl, I wish this rivalry would come back. But yeah, it should be a good one. You got anything you want to promote or that you're working on? You want to talk about?
I'm actually working right now. Probably by the time this hits the air, it'll be up. I'm working on my first piece with B-ball breakdown about. It's going to be a fun little thing on how Bledsoe can fit in with the Bucks. So our earlier topic actually kind of clicked with some of the things that I was working on, like literally like right before you before you called. So it was kind of perfect.
That's great. That I will be very excited to read that one.
Yeah. And later this week, possibly again before this actually hits the air, I'm going to be moving my 10 things I like and don't like about the Detroit Pistons column over to the Athletic Detroit. It's kind of an homage to Zach Lowe. Every so often I like to do one of these check-in things, and it's one of my most enjoyable pieces that I get to write every so often. So that'll be going up on the Athletic Detroit for any of your listeners who are subscribers to the Athletic Detroit, or to the Athletic in general.
You should be if you're not.
Absolutely. And all the cities are included, so, you know, great value and all that.
Agreed. I follow all of the Athletic sites now. It's definitely one of the best investments you can make. Where can people follow your work?
At Duncan Smith MBA on Twitter, and, of course, Piston Powered and the Athletic Detroit pumps out on Twitter everything that I put up, and I'm sure all your listeners are probably following B-ball Breakdown. If not, go do that.
Yeah, you can learn so much from B-Ball Breakdown in a day. It's like life-changing. But as always, you can follow the podcast at Locked On Pacers. You can follow me at T East NBA. Adam, who has not done a team preview this week, so go yell at him on Twitter. It can be followed at FriedmanAdam5. We'll see you guys tomorrow. It actually will be Adam to review the Pelicans and Pistons games, as well as have a special interview guest. So we'll see you guys tomorrow.